Good morning, Lighthouse family. Welcome on this beautiful Sunday morning. So good to see you all. To see all your smiling faces. If you're not smiling, I'll just say it and make you smile. We have a few things to let you know. Last week, I blew the mentoring moments. My husband saved me. Thank you. So I got it right for this week. It is women's mentoring moments. Sister April will be leading. I will not be there this week. So Friday this week, women ages 16 and up are invited to come at 7 p.m. here at the church, and you will have a good time of discussion. And I will just proclaim April is going to give you words of wisdom. So it will not be my husband this month. Also want to remind you, our Hispanic church plant is starting August 1st, or the first Sunday in August. We are doing a bilingual service. So we want to keep letting you know that to prepare you. Bilingual services are a little bit different. You're double saying everything. So I keep telling my husband, you're going to have to shorten the message just a little bit because it's got to be repeated twice. So we are excited, though, because I believe we are going to reach a people group that is not being reached. And so more than anything, we covet your prayers that the right people will come at the right time. And we are planning to do that once a month. So if you know people who maybe English is not their first language, please spread the word. The first Sunday of every month, we will be opening that bilingual service to them. And so we want to get that word out. And it may take time to grow. And again, that's where we appreciate your prayers in that area. But I believe God is going to do some great things through that. Also wanted to let you know family camp is coming up. So if anyone is interested, our church organization has an annual camp in Warsaw, Ohio. And so that is Monday, August 7th through Friday, August 11th. If you're able to come one night or just for a day, whatever you'd like to do, next week we will have the information on the window so you can get the address and all of that. But we will also still have Wednesday service here. So if you cannot make it down there, we will still have service here as well. And then save the date. We have a kids' crusade coming up on August 26th. All you kids, say woohoo! That'll be a lot of fun. They're going to start at the park, and then they're going to come back here for a service. And we have Pastor Randy Waters from Botkins, Ohio coming. So I'm telling you adults, you don't want to miss it either. Pastor Randy is amazing. You can borrow some neighbor kids and just bring them with you. So wherever you can find some kids, get them here on that day at the park, here at the church. We are going to have a time in the Lord on that day. And then my last announcement for you is, if you've noticed, we are not live streaming through Facebook anymore. So if you're used to Facebook and getting that notification popping up that says we're live, we're not doing that because then Facebook can limit us. And so we prefer to not be limited. So we are now live streaming through our app. We can post that to Facebook, but we still have complete control of all the content. They can't decide they don't like something we say and shut it down. So we don't have the notification anymore, but it's still on Facebook. But if you want to go straight through the app or straight through the website, you can also see it all there. And speaking of that, if you would like to get our app and you do not have it yet, it is free. You can see Brother Jim or Sister Elena. If you are technologically challenged like me and you don't know how to get it going, they will get it on your phone for you so you can stay up to date with all of these announcements. So that I don't have to give you all the details every week. So, and if you don't have technology like that, we also have paper copies of our calendar, so you can see the Welcome Center to get those as well. And at this time, Pastor Caleb is coming with our call to worship scripture.
Well, good morning. It is good to be here with you today. We are happy that you are here. If you're visiting today, we're absolutely excited that you chose to worship the Lord with us this morning. I just want to open up to you with a scripture, two verses out of Matthew chapter 18. It starts in verse 19, and it just says, "Again, truly I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there amongst them." I was reading this verse this morning, and I was thinking to myself even last night a little bit. And I, you know, I'm not one to ever really question God. You know, if something may look different than what I thought it would be, or maybe, you know, it's not happening the way I want it to roll out, I'm never one to question God. But, you know, I was asking myself, this said, where two of you on earth agree about any matter and you pray for it, it will be done. We have a lot of group prayer sessions. We have a lot of times where we come together in prayer. How often is it that you think that maybe we come together in prayer, but yet somebody's praying this direction, and then this direction, and this direction, and there, there, and there, and we're not actually praying for one thing? Maybe we're going to pray about our community, but maybe we need to start saying, God, I want this to happen in our community, and start saying, Father, whatever you want done in this community, let it happen. Whatever you want done in this country, let it happen. I think a lot of times what we miss is just a simple fact that we're not really doing what he's asked us to do, and that's just release his will upon this place. This is about lifting up his name, his will, not mine, what he wants done. So we are just happy that we can come together this morning in unity. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus today. But today, we'd like to for you to understand the ways to give, which we have the baskets around the front. And see, I mess this up all the time. So I don't see it because I don't remember all the different things that we have. Do we have the slide for the offering? I know there's the app. Is it the app? There we go. We can do cash. Cash is great. You can make checks out to Lighthouse PCG, or you can give online at lighthousepcg.org. Click the online button if you'd like to. Doesn't matter how you give it. Just give it. That's what the Bible says, right? Let's stand this morning. Father God, we just love you today. We thank you, God, that we are able to come together in this house and lift up your name together. Now, Father, today we ask you to just touch this service today. Father, we ask that you just take control of this place as we just give the control to you. Father, as our brother and speaker, Pastor Darius, is ministering this morning in a whole other state, Father, we pray that your blessings be upon that service as well, God. Father, touch them, anoint them today, Father. Now, God, we ask that you just bless us this offering as each and every person gives today. Touch each and every person in this place online, Father, where your word is spoken, Father. The ears will be opened, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you be free?
Power in the blood. Now and forever. Break every chain, break every chain,
every chain, break every chain, break every
there's an army rising up. to us this morning, you guys. He's been speaking to me about these chains since we came in to pray this morning. There are people in here this morning who are bound up. You have heavy chains on you. You can feel them physically on your shoulders, slung from one side to the other. We are not supposed to walk in that bondage. We are not supposed to bear that heavy weight on us. We have the power of God. We have the power of Jesus Christ in us, the Holy Spirit. It is by His power. He wants to set you free this morning. You need to just step into that. Step into it. God, take these chains. I want to walk in freedom this morning. I am no longer bound. I am no longer steadfast in the spot that the enemy is trying to keep me planted in. He wants you to be stuck there. No more, Satan. I am a child of God. I have freedom by the blood of Jesus Christ that runs through my veins. I am His. I am chosen, and I am free. Take that freedom this morning. Step out in it. Accept it. You are free. Walk in that freedom. It's yours. If you feel that, if you feel like you are holding on to chains this morning, if you feel like you are bound up, you feel like mental, it's physical, it is an infirmity upon you. You are holding on to sickness, something that the enemy is plaguing you with. Take a step out.
Come on.
Show God your faithfulness, that you trust and believe in Him. That's all you need to do. Just trust and believe in what God wants for you. He wants you to be free. He doesn't want you to stay there. That's not His will for us. We are not meant to be bound up and broken and hurting. Held in those strongholds. Show God your faithfulness. If you need to step out physically from your seat, come forward and just tell God, I accept it. If you need to stay in your seat, that's fine. Receive what God has for you this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the Lord keeps over and over and over expressing in Acts when Paul and Silas start worshiping in the prison and the chains fell off. Again, the Lord is calling you to worship Him. He has given this church a key to worship. Enter into what they are bringing you to. Enter into this worship. Break your chains through praise, through praising the Lord.
Those chains falling. I hear those chains falling. I hear those chains falling. I hear those chains falling.
Listen to this part right here.
I saw my chains as they fell to the ground. I saw my chains. I am no longer bound.
And I left those chains when my Jesus I found. He broke every chain, broke every chain, broke every chain. Well, let me see. For you, I see your chains as they fall to the ground. I can see your chains, you are no longer bound. You can leave those chains when Jesus you found. He broke every chain, broke every chain, broke every chain. I saw my chains as they fell to the ground. I saw my chains, I am no longer bound. I left those chains when my Jesus I found.
He broke every chain.
chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Spirit of God is moving right now, church. He's speaking to us and stirring us up. There's a couple things that I want to exhort to you along with our sisters this morning to encourage you to take action in your life. Some of you may not know the story of Paul and Silas. Some of you do. But Paul and Silas were in a prison cell, chained up. And at midnight, when it seemed like everything was the darkest, they had been locked up not because of doing anything wrong. They had been locked up because they were preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ. And they could have very easily said, well, we're stuck here now. What are we going to do? I thought that God was with us. We're doing what God wanted us to do, and why is this hardship on me? See, sometimes we think chains are drug addicts and alcoholics and people who are caught in sexual perversion. That's what we think. No, 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 no. There are all kinds of chains. There are chains of oppression that will keep you from praising your Jesus. And you know what? Here's the sad part about it, Christian, follower of Jesus. You can get to heaven and still be bound up in that area of your life, not realizing that Jesus set you free even in that area. So those two brothers, Paul and Silas, instead of having a pity party for themselves, they decided to just start praising Jesus. And before Elvis Presley ever came along, the Holy Ghost and Paul and Silas had a jailhouse rock. And the power of God shook that place. The chains fell off of them. The physical chains fell off of them. The doors opened up. But you know what? Not only for Paul and Silas. What you don't understand, people of God, is that when you just start praising Jesus in the midst of your turmoil, in the midst of your pain, it will affect everybody else around you. Every prisoner was set free that night. And guess what? Not one of them left the prison. You know why? Because where the presence of the Lord is, nobody wants to leave. The jailer was going to take his own life. He thought, oh no, I'm in trouble now. I've lost all these prisoners. I'm sure if the doors are open, they've all left. They've all escaped. Paul said, no, 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 don't take your own life. Don't do that. We're all still here. God is moving. And you're not only going to be your life saved, but your life is going to be transformed. And your family's life is going to be set free. It's a chain reaction when we begin to worship Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. So that's my mini sermon in case you didn't know the story of Paul and Silas. But then there's another group of people. A group of people who know the name of Jesus, but maybe have walked away from the name of Jesus. Maybe aren't living where they're supposed to be living. So listen to this story. Let's fast forward into the future. Let me tell you a story about my grandma, Pat, who knew Jesus, had walked away from Jesus, and was in a place where she had gotten connected to some stuff that wasn't good. And she's in this house, and people are starting to do witchcraft. And they're levitating things. And all of a sudden, this table starts to levitate. You people that think that witchcraft is made up, it's not. It's real. It's a demonic force. And all of a sudden, Grandma realized, I am somewhere I should not be. This is not okay. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to be bound and gripped by the forces of hell. and very quietly underneath her breath, without saying it out loud, she just began to say, Jesus. Jesus. She just whispered the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, that table dropped back to the floor. Everybody came out of the trance. They said, what happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Come on and praise Him this morning. Get those chains broke off of you. Get free this morning. See freedom in your life this morning. Come on, let's sing it again.
Congregation, sing it out.
Hallelujah. Come on, church, lift your voices unto God. Give Him praise right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship You, Lord Jesus. We praise You, Lord. Join my King in what You hear and be a sweet, sweet sound in my voice to worship You, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do something, and it may be strange, but I feel like I need to ask this question and have prayer. And it just stirred in me when I shared that story about my grandma. Is there someone in here who maybe it was you or a family member that was connected to any form of witchcraft at some time? Maybe they're still in it, or maybe they've gotten out of it, or maybe you have gotten out of it. Is there someone in here? Would you raise your hand if somebody was okay? We have one person, have some other people. Can you come forward? I want you to come forward. We're going to pray right now. Anybody who has dealt with witchcraft in their families, or maybe in their own personal life, we're going to deal with this oppression right now. We're going to deal with this oppression right now. We're going to see freedom right now. Amen. Now here's the thing. Sometimes us Pentecostals, we like to get really loud, okay? Because we get excited. And that's good, because there's moments of time that that's what we need to do. But right now, I want you to hear the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Right now, we just need to be sincere in our heart. And we just need to speak the name of Jesus. You can't scream the devil out. Doesn't matter how loud you get, the devil don't care. Doesn't matter how dramatic you get, the devil don't care. Now, there are instances where we should be dramatic in our praise, our worship unto God, but we don't need to be all dramatic about stuff. We just need to speak the name of Jesus and declare victory. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about chains. Sometimes we can have chains that are connected to our mind, our will, and our emotions from the past because of things that we either dabbled in or were a part of. Or some of our family members, you still see that. We have the expression yanking their chain, right? Yanking someone's chain. And you see that in their life, or even in your own life. You see that the devil keeps yanking the chain because there's a chain there. And the Holy Spirit is saying, this morning is the morning for freedom over those things. Guess what? The word redemption covers everything in the past. Sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes we think we need to punish ourselves. We need to beat ourselves up. We need to, you know, go through all this stuff and hurt ourselves because of what we feel like we did to God. Do you realize that Jesus already bore all of that? The ugliness of the cross is that. We don't have to beat ourselves up because of decisions we made in the past. There is complete freedom and redemption in the name of Jesus. So I want you to lift your hands right now. Those in the congregation, lift your hands towards them. We are going to see freedom right now. We're going to see freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you right now. And you see the oppression of dark forces that are in family members' lives, in the lives of these people right here. You see how it not only affects the person who has dealt with it, but everyone around that person that loves them. Now, God, we know that you care. We know that you love them more than we love them. And we declare complete freedom in the name of Jesus. It is broken off in Jesus' name. Oh, Shekata. We thank you, God, right now. We thank you, God, right now. We receive it by faith 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 right now. In the name of Jesus, we receive it by faith right now. In the name of Jesus. Yes, there it is. There it is. We receive it by faith in the name of receive it in the name of Jesus right now. By faith, we receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive it right now by faith. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Receive it in faith right now. We stand in faith. We receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
You still do.
Hallelujah.
Great
things. We receive it in the name of Jesus. We receive it in the name of Jesus. We receive it in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. We thank you, God, right now. We receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name.
Jesus.
And I will bless the Lord, oh my.
Before service started, I was in prayer and I heard just one word spoken to me from the presence of God, and it was breakthrough. Breakthrough. Today is a day of breakthrough. Listen, that is leading and has created a life of breakthrough. Do you hear me, congregation? Not just the people up front here, but those of you that are sitting down right now also. When you choose Jesus, it's not just a moment of breakthrough. It is a life of breakthrough. And there will be times where things try to come on you and come against you in your Christian life. And you think to yourself, what's going on here? What is this? Well, it's the attack of the enemy. Sometimes we bring the attack of the enemy on ourselves. That's just life. Guess what? Jesus is still our Redeemer.
Yes.
Sometimes it's because the work that we're doing. If we really believe there's a battle going on in the heavenlies, good versus evil, then why wouldn't that evil oppression come against us when we're fighting for good? Right? But let's remind ourselves the good news. Jesus already won the victory. Right? So no matter what we're facing, no matter what's coming against us, we live a life of breakthrough. Because Jesus has already won every battle that we're going to face. Problem is we think we have to fight it ourselves. You have something you want to share? I think the microphone's over there.
As you were talking about breakthrough, it overwhelms me. If you were in a place of complacency, and it's not so much that you feel like you have these chains or anything like that. That breakthrough can be that moment that God gives you of what you need to pray on.
Yes.
And of what, how you need to walk in your Christian life and who you need to pray for and how you need to pray for them. Those can be that breakthrough too. It doesn't have to be that huge, big, you know, the drugs, the alcohol or anything like that. Yeah. It can just be that moment where you're like, this is what I'm supposed to be praying about. Those little breakthroughs are huge too.
Amen. That's very true. Sometimes breakthrough is just clear direction. Sometimes as Christians, we feel like we've been roaming for a while. Where are we going? What's going on here, God? I haven't heard your clear voice for a minute. What's going on here? And breakthrough is when we get that clear direction. This is the next step. This is the next thing you need to focus prayer on. That's breakthrough, church. That's breakthrough. And that's what God's doing this morning. Sometimes it's emotional wounds because we've been working for the kingdom. People hurt us. Yeah. Jesus still bears the scars of his hurt for his glory. So let me just give you this word right now before we change the order of the service. Sometimes we look at those things and we allow them to remind us of the hurts in the past. When we bear the marks of hurts, emotional wounds and things like that, we should look at them for the glory of God. If I got through it, Jesus is the one that did it, not me. And I bear these marks because I was working for the kingdom, and I refuse to quit working for the kingdom. Paul bore marks on his body because he preached the gospel of Jesus. They stoned him and left him for dead. He bore marks on his body for the glory of God. Sometimes we bear marks on our emotional heart for the glory of God, church. And we don't look at those scars as, oh, wasn't that terrible, a terrible wound that someone treated me? No, God's glory worked through me. That thing should have pulled me away from God, but it only made me go closer to Him. Church hurt's a big word in this day and age. And we want to blame the church and say, I'm never going back to the church because people hurt me there. No, no, no. What you're supposed to do is run to Jesus and then bear that scar proudly, that by His strength and His ability, you did not disconnect yourself from the church, but you helped continue to grow the church, the very thing that you thought was hurting you. Amen? That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do here. The kingdom of darkness cannot win because we have the light of Jesus Christ here. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why don't you lift your hands? You guys can be seated if you wish to be. Lift your hands and give Him some praise right now. Let's give Him some glory and honor of what He's doing in our lives. God is moving. I'm telling you, church, God is moving in our midst. There's freedom in this house today. Amen? We're going to go ahead and release our students to go to their classes. We have Firehouse Kids this morning, and they also have teen class this morning. We're excited about what God's doing in our young people and how God is just training them up, teaching them. But how many of you know that the young people, and I'm very, very big on this as your pastor, the young people are not just the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today also. And actually, they're more important than us old people. Because we are the church of today, but we're not the church of tomorrow. Because we're not promised tomorrow. They are a part of the church of today, but they're also the church of tomorrow. And so they're vitally important. And as I often mentioned, when they go back there, they're not going back there to be babysat. They're going back there so that they can learn the word of God and be mighty, fierce warriors carrying the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is just moving in this place, and I want to be obedient to the presence of God. There's a couple different ways I feel like we could go this morning. One of them I've been hitting on a lot lately, and I think I'm just going to follow what I felt God speak to me in prayer this week. And I want to talk to you about walking in the Spirit. Last week, I preached about independence, or being in dependence, not being dependent from anything and everything, but being dependent upon Jesus Christ. And if we want to live in our independence in this nation, we want to live in our freedom and our liberty, then we must live in Jesus Christ. And I want to walk along a little bit further in that vein this morning and talk about walking and living in the Spirit of God. Because how many know that every generation has its tests, has its things that can come against the whole generation? It's not just, look, all of evil is working all the time, right? We know that. But we also know that God's work is perpetual. It's unending. So God's work is always combating that and overtaking that. But there are strongholds, things that really get rooted in every generation. And our generation is dealing with an onslaught of overwhelming experiences in our emotions. We have more people that are taking medication for anxiety and depression than we ever have before. I'm going to be real clear here. If you have to take medication for anxiety and depression, I'm not putting you down right now. That's not what I'm saying. That is a lie from the devil. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the truth is that we live in a generation where more people are taking medication for anxiety and depression than ever before. Is that not true? What that means to the church is we are being attacked emotionally in our generation. It is a stronghold that this generation's dealing with. The last generation didn't deal with that in the matter of it being a stronghold. Did people have anxiety? Yes. Did people have depression? Yes. But it was not widespread. You following me? Whenever the church sees that, we need to take notice of it and realize this is an attack on our generation. Now, when I say generation, I'm not just talking about what's Gen Z, is that the one coming up? And then you have the millennials that I'm supposedly a part of. I barely made it. Then you have Gen X, then the baby boomers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the age in which we live in. Because here's the thing. Baby boomers who never experienced this before are now experiencing it. They lived in the other age. They understand it even better, what I'm talking about, how it wasn't widespread, and yet it seems like it's everywhere now. Gen Xers are dealing with these problems, emotional, mental issues. Millennials are. Gen Z. It's funny, if you sit and talk with teenagers, it's almost uncommon to hear that they're not on some form of medication. And I'm saying this all because we live in a day and age now in the church world that we must be sensitive to what's going on around us so that we can minister to the people the way they need to be ministered to. And if we are completely caught up in our emotions and oppressed ourselves, then we can never help the people who need it the most. And so last week I made some statements to lay some groundwork to take us where I feel like God is leading us. And that is this, that if we're not careful, we will assume we're walking in the Spirit when we're actually walking in our soul. And I said to you that I have heard a song that made me cry, but it wasn't anointed. I have heard a speech that moved me, but it wasn't anointed. What part of me was being touched? My soul. My soul was being touched by that song, by that speech, by a play, whatever it was, by a movie I watched. Sometimes the older we get, it can even be a commercial, because we've just been through life, right? And we see people having a heartache and it touches our soul, and all of a sudden the tear wells up in us because we know someone else is having a hardship. We understand, we empathize and sympathize with that. Sometimes they like to put little cute puppy dogs in front of us to try to get our money, right? They're tugging on our soul. And if we're not careful, people who believe in the fullness of the gospel, people who believe that the Spirit still moves today, if we're not careful, we will mix those two things up. Because we can be in a church service and hear an amazing gift, whether they're singing, speaking, teaching, maybe it's a drama being presented to us, and it can touch our soul. And because we're in church, we think it's spiritual. And because we start thinking that that is spirit, then we think that when we're outside of the church and we have similar feelings, that that's the spirit also. And we start to rely on that feeling to get us through. And because now it's all about our feelings, we are living an emotional state of our soul. And then whatever affects our feelings completely affects our life. And next thing we know, we are all over the place. I mean, we are just wound up all the time. We can feel it inside, like we're in knots, right? Because we have misunderstood the Spirit of God and how He works. Now, does God move in the midst of our feelings? Yes. Yes. There are times where we will have an overwhelming feeling of joy. And some people will shout and holler and hoop. Some people will get up and dance. Some people will run. Some people will just cry. They're not tears of sadness. They're tears of joy. But what is taking place on the outside is only the effects of a move of the Spirit. And here's where we can miss it, church. It can look exactly the same way as if someone was just touching our soul. Now, don't get offended at me, but I'm just going to give you some good teaching, okay? I've been in services before where someone got done. They were a phenomenal talent, and they touched the soul of people. And people would get up and say, "Oh, wasn't that wonderful? That was so anointed." And I thought to myself, no. That touched our soul. But God was not anointing and moving in that in the spiritual realm. It was in a soulish realm. We like those things because they feel good. But they don't do anything for us because it's not spiritual. We even hear messages being preached and say, "Oh man, isn't that person so anointed?" And really all they did is they walked us through a series of things that we like to hear, and it excited our soul. See, I have to teach on these things as a pastor because of the age we're living in. Everybody is caught up in their soul. Now remember, the soul is the mind, our will, and our emotions. So our intellect, what we're thinking about, what's going on, our feelings and how we feel about it, and then the decisions we make based on those thoughts and feelings. That's our will. And the Bible says that we're supposed to submit our will unto God, that God would have His will in our life. But if we are basing our thoughts and emotions on the will, and we think that that's God, listen to me closely, we think that's God, then we're going to walk right down the wrong road. Because we have tricked ourselves into thinking that when I have this feeling, that's God. And don't you think the enemy of your soul knows that? That's why discernment is key. Wisdom and understanding in the word is key. And here's what you have to understand. That the Spirit of God, which is the application when we see it happening or manifested, that is the anointing, that's the application of the anointing, okay? It's the enablement to do something that we cannot do in ourselves. When the Spirit of God begins to do that, church, then things are actually broken off. Things actually happen and take place. People are changed. It's more than just a feeling. You know there is a difference. There's something different that happened in me. This wasn't just an ordinary thing. This wasn't like, oh, wasn't that nice? And don't get me wrong when I say this, okay? I appreciate the compliments. I appreciate people saying, oh, Pastor, that was a great word and all of that. But this is what I tell myself so I can stay focused and do what I need to do as a minister of the gospel. I tell myself, this is what I'm hearing. Oh, wasn't that nice? I don't want just wasn't that nice. I want to hear testimony reports that when the word of God went forth, deliverance took place. I want to hear people saying that word changed me when it was released. And I don't even think the same way about this situation anymore because God spoke to me. And that's when we know the Spirit of God is moving. Not just an eloquent speaker, someone that knows how to say things the right way, or a great singer, someone who knows how to hit the notes and bring the volume level up when it needs to be and all of that. And listen to me, I'm not knocking and putting down any of that. I think everything we do, we should do to the best of our ability. But what I'm saying is if the church is relying on our talent and how good we are at stuff, and how good we are at doing church, then nobody's going to be set free. And we can come on Sundays and Wednesdays and have our little club. Have our fun time. Pat each other on the back. Oh, it was so good to see you get up and dance today, brother. Oh, I enjoyed that word Wednesday, sister. Wasn't that singing great that Sister Trisha did today? Hallelujah. Yeah, all of that's true. All of it's true. But are people being changed? Now, I believe they are here. Sometimes not as quickly as I want them to be. You know that person, Caleb? I've been that guy. You've been that guy. Me too. I believe God's doing that. Yeah. So I'm not preaching this because I don't think it's happening. I'm preaching this to remind ourselves. This is what it's about. It's not about us coming together and having a good time on Sundays. It's about people's lives being transformed and changed. Have you sat with your brother and sister and heard their testimony? Have you heard the awesome thing that God's done for Pam and Mike? How He restored things. How He set them free from stuff that had them bound. Have you sat and listened to that? That is the Spirit of God moving. How many years ago was it when you stopped drinking, Sister Pam? 1999, 24 years ago. Hallelujah. That's the Spirit of God. There's a difference. There's a change in her. Has she had emotional things happen at all? Yeah, absolutely. She's felt the presence of God. She's cried before. She's shouted. I've seen her get happy in the Spirit. All of that. But the difference is she's never had to go back to who she used to be because the Spirit of God made her brand new. So when I'm preaching to you this morning about walking in the Spirit, I'm telling us that we have to make sure we are not equating the Spirit to feelings. Because I can tell you, sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes I don't feel anything. I'll never forget being in Kenya, laying hands on this lady to pray for her. I'm in front of 4,000 people preaching a crusade. I just gave them the Word of God. God gave me a word of knowledge. And the lady showed up. She came up to be prayed for because it was a word of knowledge. This is what was going on in her body. And I laid hands on her to pray for her. And I was in my Pentecostal self. Hallelujah. Here it comes. I'm going to feel the glory of God. Nothing. 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 I felt nothing.
Yes.
No emotion, no power, no strength, nothing. I thought, God, what's going on here? And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me, Jonathan. He said, do you believe me? I said, well, yeah, I believe you. He said, then pray for her. Okay. So by faith, in the name of Jesus, I laid hands on that lady and prayed for her. Guess what? I didn't heal her because I couldn't heal her. And I found out in that moment I could never heal anybody. But if I have faith in Jesus, He can heal everybody. Now let me tell you the rest of the story. I prayed for that lady, and next thing I know, she felt something. I couldn't feel a thing, but she felt the power of God come in her body, and that thing that was in her stomach area, abdomen area, that God had called out, God was healing. She gets emotional, starts moving backwards by the Spirit of God, and I had to get her to calm down. I said, what's going on with you? She said, it's gone. It's gone. It's not there anymore. It's gone. And you know what I did in my great faith? I said, are you serious?
Are you sure? Wow.
You're kidding me, right? It's not there anymore. It's not there anymore. Tears streaming down her cheek. And here I am, Pentecostal boy who knows the fire of God, standing there going, I can feel nothing right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Has nothing to do with our feelings. Nothing to do with our feelings. Sometimes our feelings are overwhelmed. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you got in a fight with your spouse on the way to church today? And you didn't feel like coming and lifting your hands and worshiping Jesus because you was fussing with one another. You're not supposed to look at each other either. Come on. Well, I don't feel like it. So what? Now you can be mad at me, not your spouse. So what? You don't feel like it. Isn't God still God?
Yeah.
Doesn't he still deserve our praise? Whether we feel like it or not, he deserves it. And whether we feel like it or not, we're gathering together so God can move in our lives. And I'm going to get a hold of the Holy Ghost, not my feelings. By faith in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to believe that God's going to move. Sometimes I pray prayers that I feel nothing in at all. I don't. Because I know it's the Word. And since it's the Word, it's truth. And since it's the truth, I will proclaim it whether I feel it or not. So I pray it. And I pray it in sincerity because I mean it. I don't feel it, but I mean it. So I begin to declare it. Now my first scripture is found in Galatians chapter 5. You didn't think I was going to give you the Bible this morning, did you? I'm always going to give you the Bible. I'm giving you the Bible. I'm just not giving you a chapter, verse right now, book. Galatians chapter 5. Go ahead and put that up there, sister. It's a simple verse. This is the English Standard Version. I like the way it says it. It says this. If we live by the Spirit, remember, those of us that have received Jesus Christ have been born again by what? The Spirit. So we have life by the Spirit. So he's speaking to people who have received Jesus Christ and have been born again. Have been given this new life. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also, I like how it says it here, keep in step with the Spirit. Now, my wife is a fast walker. I don't know how she does it. Now, if we're jogging and running, she is one of the slowest people I've ever jogged with. She will tell you that. She actually walks faster than she jogs. And that's not an exaggeration. It's kind of like she just does this hop thing or whatever. So when I'm walking with her, my pace in life has actually changed. I used to be a slower walker. But because she is my spouse and we are one and we go places together, now I walk a lot faster. Because I've had to learn how to keep in step with her. She'll leave me behind. You following me here? Sometimes we're the Elisha with the Spirit. And we got to slow down. Because we're going too fast. Sometimes we're the Joe with the Spirit. And we got to speed up. Get our step moving a little bit quicker. Because if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit of God. Wherever the Spirit of God is, whatever he's doing, however he's working, that's where I need to be.
Amen.
How can Paul and Silas have revival breakout in prison after they've been locked up for preaching the gospel? Because they were keeping in step with the Spirit of God. Now, let me make this clear to you. Although this is a house that we have built where we come together and join together and we have sanctified it and dedicated it for the presence of God. And when we come here, we feel the glory of God. We had some people come here last night for the first time. I could tell when they were singing, I could tell they were like, they knew that this is where the glory of God gets to flow freely. They could feel it in the atmosphere. It was more than just a feeling. It's the Spirit of God. But sometimes, church, we get this idea that this is where the glory of God is. And when we walk out of those doors, we're leaving the glory. No. Not at all. You see, Joel prophesied that his Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. In Acts chapter 2, Peter gets up and pronounces, this is that which Paul, or which Joel was talking about. So Peter's preaching from Joel chapter 2. And he said, this is what he prophesied. It has actually happened now. So now that we know that the Spirit of God has been poured out on all of us, that means that he's everywhere. Omnipresent. He's everywhere. So that means then that wherever we are connected to God. Now, people have not all come to the realization of that. That's why they need salvation. That's why they need a born-again experience. But then there are people who are born again who have come to that realization, but then we have something that's trying to work against us, and it's called our flesh. And in our fleshes, it's more than just our bodies, okay? This is part of our flesh. But there are also carnal thoughts in our mind and carnal feelings in our emotions that lead our will to try to make decisions that go contrary to the Spirit of God. There's the natural mind, the natural emotions, the natural will. Then there is the spiritual mind, the spiritual emotions, and the spiritual will of man. The carnal one is where all of that meets in between. Once we're saved, we're no longer natural anymore. We have become supernatural because God's Spirit now lives inside of us, right? The Bible says, know you not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He lives inside of us. So now we are supernatural. But now there are natural thoughts that try to come back, and that's called the carnal mind. And the carnal mind, Romans 8 teaches us, is an enemy against the Spirit. It tries to rise up against the Spirit and pull it down. So if we're going to keep in step or in time with the Spirit, then what we have to combat is the carnal mind. Now, never ever think that it's your natural mind, because you have been sanctified and set free from your natural mind. As soon as we start saying, well, that's just my natural mind, that's how I am, then we cannot receive freedom from it. But as soon as we recognize, no, that's just my carnal mind, that's trying to rise up against my spiritual mind, now I know I must take authority over that thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Bringing every thought into subjection under the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You follow me? I'm giving you some teaching this morning so that you can separate your feelings, your thoughts, and your wills that try to fight against each other. You see, your will is directed by what you're thinking about and what you're feeling. And right away, man, listen, just so you all know, this message is more for me than any of you. Right away, if I want to start thinking bad thoughts, down thoughts, depressed thoughts, then all of a sudden I start feeling sad. Might even go find me a good old country western song and listen to it. I'm not talking about this stuff nowadays. I'm talking about one of them old ones where you lose everything in it. Yeah. Now those thoughts and feelings have directed my will. And I have no will to be victorious. I have no will to win. I have no will to overcome anything. What I want to do is go have a pity party for myself. That's what I want to do. Because I feel bad. Now that might not be you. I'm just preaching to me right now. We've all been there, haven't we? That was a sarcastic remark, by the way, if you didn't catch it. We've all been there. Sometimes we're angry. We have the feeling of anger. Why? Because we're thinking of thoughts that are unfair, unjust, not right. And we're constantly thinking about that. Well, that's just not right. I mean, I've been working all day long, and Lisha still doesn't have supper ready. That's not right. How selfish of me to be thinking about me at that moment and not think about all the stuff she did that day. But I will excuse myself, won't I? I'll dismiss myself and all the wrongdoing I'm doing at that moment because the way that I feel and the thoughts I'm focusing on, and what does that do? It directs my will to treat her in such a way that she should not be treated. Now let me take it a step further. Sometimes we will call it righteous indignation because we see things happening around our society we don't like. And if we're not careful, we'll get so focused on the injustice of our society that it will put us into a feeling of a mood that has suppressed us down from being connected to the Spirit of God. And now we just want to fuss and fight with everybody because it ain't right. And I'm going to do something about it. Yep. Bless God. They're treating people like that. That just is wrong. And we just start picking fights with anybody and everybody, don't we? Because our will has been shoved into this place. And we're not living by the Spirit. Although we think that we are standing for righteousness and holiness and all of the things that the Bible teaches. Yeah, but we're not being very holy in that moment. You're saying, well, you should never... No, that's not what I'm saying. We should say what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. I'm saying, where's your state of mind? Where did your soul go with that? Was your day ruined because of a conversation? Was your day turned upside down because someone upset you? If it was, then you're living in your soul. Now, we're all going to have moments. We're all going to have those times where right then and there, it doesn't feel good. But it's what we do with it. Do we stay there mentally the rest of the day? What if that happens when you first wake up? That's a long day. Or do we decide, hey, let's keep in step with the Spirit? Yeah, that was a moment that irritated me, frustrated me. My kids did something that was dumb. And it was just dumb. Let's just call it what it is. It's dumb. Deal with it and move on. You got the Holy Spirit. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be overwhelmed. You don't have to succumb to your feelings and every feeling that you have. That's the natural man. You are set free from the natural man. It's just the carnal man lying to you at the moment. Yeah. And you have to take authority over that. And you have to decide to do that.
Yeah.
Well, the devil made me do it. No, he did not. You have authority over the devil in the name of Jesus. Well, you know, that's just my personality. Is it? Is it? Or are we excusing ourselves for bad behavior as Christians? You want to see a church that was a mess? Go read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. They're Christian people. Christian people. Living that way. Because they allowed the carnal mind to control them instead of the spiritual mind. They allowed carnal feelings to move them instead of the feelings of the Spirit. and it moved their will into a place it wasn't supposed to be. Because they stopped keeping in step with the Spirit. Now check this out. You ready to see a picture of today's church? They knew how to keep in step with the Spirit when they gathered together. Oh man, they could have church. They had so many people wanting to prophesy, speak in tongues, that they had to start saying, whoa, wait a minute here. Two or three, and that's it. Everybody's got a song. Everybody's got a word from the Lord. Everybody, because you all know how to get in the Spirit when you come together. But when you're outside of the church gathering, y'all living like heathens. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? We know how to get in touch with the Holy Spirit when we're in here. And I'm not even saying that when we get in here, church, that it's soulish. I don't believe that at all. I believe that when people come here, they're sincere and they're not just trying to move our souls and make us feel good. No, we want the Spirit of God to move. That's why we're seeing people changed. But have we translated that into our daily lives? Can we walk in step with the Spirit outside of 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Sunday morning? You see, I'm telling you right now, church, I have learned I cannot live without the Holy Spirit. I can't survive. I mean, I'll go kill somebody. And you all think I'm joking about that. I'm not. God has given me glimpses of the man that I would have been had I not been saved, sanctified, set apart, redeemed, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Brother Jesse, ain't nobody in here going to like me without Jesus. And I'm going to make sure of it. That's the truth. That's just the truth. But I don't want to just be a Sunday Christian. I don't want to just be a Sunday Wednesday Christian. I don't want to just be Pastor Joe I want to look like Pastor Joe. But then behind closed doors at home, just be who I want to be. No. Because who I want to be is ugly. Who I want to be is disgusting. Because it's carnal. And it only appeases my feelings. And it doesn't care about anybody else. You want to know why we're so stuck in this state, in this age of our feelings? It's because we have made us king of everything. It's all about me and how I feel and what I want. And it doesn't matter how that affects you. If it affects you negatively, then you have to deal with it. And if you come against me, you're in the wrong. And you can't make me feel that way. You have to leave me alone. We've made it all about ourselves, haven't we? That's why we're so stuck in our heads. We're overwhelmed with life. We're depressed. And church, don't you realize that especially in America, we pretty much have everything we need all the time. Let's just pause for a moment. Thank you, God, for the blessings on our nation. Thank you, God. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from you, Lord. We thank you for the blessings upon our nation. Hallelujah. We got to stop making it about us and our feelings and what we're going through. We got to start caring about others and keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you a question just so you can think about it. It's a rhetorical. Has the Holy Spirit ever really agitated you before? He has me. I mean, he's just irritated me before. Because right when I got a good mood going, I mean a real good one, he'll start whispering to me. Now really, Joe? Oh, your life's really that bad, isn't it? that just irritates me because I just want to be in that mood. And he'll remind me, no, you don't need to go there. There's no reason for you to go there. You are blessed and highly favored of God. You may have a momentary setback. You may have a frustration. You may have something that comes against you, but you have the presence of God in your life. You're okay. Sometimes I'll even have roadblocks, literal roadblocks in my driving because the Holy Spirit wants me to go somewhere else. And he'll always warn me and I don't listen. Have you ever been there before? And then I blame him for it, like it's his fault. They go, why didn't you make it more clear, God? Hello, I said, you probably don't want to go that way. You should go this way. But sometimes those roadblocks are detours so that we can run into somebody that God wants to minister to. Yeah. But God, I'm running late. Don't put your poor planning on God. Preaching now. God told you to get up at this time and you hit the snooze. And if you had not hit the snooze, the detour that he put in your life that day so that you could be a minister of the gospel would have been just fine with your schedule. But now you feel rushed and have all of these thoughts. Of, well, but what if I'm late to work? And what if this and what if that? And Jesus loves you. No. It's because we were not keeping in step with Spirit. He said get up when he said to get up because he knew that we had to have some extra time to prepare that way because he had a God-ordained moment of our life. We like to think about God-ordained moments when we feel the presence of God and the glory of God manifested amongst us and God gives us a word and all of a sudden we just have a great time. But what about those God-ordained moments every day where people need Jesus? Now, I know I've been doing some teaching more than preaching this morning, but it is stirring in my heart for the church to get back where we need to be. Not dismissing people. Not dismissing their feelings. Look, feelings are real. And they need to be dealt with. But you know how we deal with feelings? We bring them to the foot of the cross. We say, God, this is how I feel right now. Sometimes we know it's not right. So help me. Sometimes we don't know if it's right or wrong. So God, help me. Sometimes we know it's exactly right. So God, help me. Because we must live by the Spirit. We must walk by Spirit. Now let me read a few verses in closing. I promise I'm not going to expound on them. I just want you to hear them because they're found in Romans chapter 8. I already read 2 Corinthians last week to you, 17 and 18, but let me just read this to you here. Romans 8 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile or enmity, an enemy to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." Now listen to this. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery or bondage to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, or Father, my Father." Now, I want to encourage you, go and read the whole chapter of Romans 8. There's so much good information in there about keeping in step with the Spirit and seeing the difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. But here's the thing, church. I'm going to give an altar call in a few moments. Pastor Alicia, if you would come back to the piano. And the altar call is not for you to just say, okay, yeah, wasn't that a lovely sermon, a great message. You know, that's for people who maybe are sinners and they need to go forward and receive Jesus, or maybe just someone that's really having a hard time. No, the altar call is for all of us. All of us. And I never make it mandatory that you have to come down here. You can pray in your seat, but these altars are open for that very reason. But the altar call is also this. It's for everyone because we're all called to come to prayer. So that way, when we leave this building, what God was speaking to us on a personal level during this message by His Holy Spirit becomes solidified and sealed in our life. Because tomorrow you're going to come up against something that you're going to deal with, this very subject, and you're going to have to choose. Will I keep in step with the Spirit, or am I going to live like Joe wants to live? And when I come to a place called an altar and I humble myself before God, it sets the precedent for my life that no, I will not do what Joe wants to do. I will submit my body and my soul to the Spirit of God that lives inside of me. And in this moment, I have chosen to follow Jesus. I am dependent upon Him over anything else. I must have the Spirit of God. And it is a daily, moment by moment choice to live that way. So if you'd stand to your feet, please, if you're able to this morning. I'm going to give you an invitation to let God seal this in your heart. I'm not going to be the same anymore. I'm saying that. I'm not going to be the same anymore. I'm not going to react the same way to frustrating things anymore. I'm not. Because God's teaching me. And if I do, I'm counting it as my learning process because God is changing me by His Spirit. I'm walking with the Spirit, not just so I can talk in tongues, Pentecostals. I'm walking in the Spirit so I can live like Jesus in this earth because people need Jesus. Father God, right now we come before You. You see our hearts. You see our minds. You see every aspect of our soul, God. You see how it wars against the Spirit at times. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us. For giving into our soulish man and being carnal. I thank You, God, that You've set us free from the natural man. Now we are spiritual people, supernatural people. But God, I thank You that You are helping us keep in step where we will not live carnal lives, but we will live spiritual lives. You see everything inside of us that You've been working on. God, as the pastor of this church, I just submit our lives to You right now. And I thank You, Lord, that by Your glory, from glory to glory, You are transforming us into Your image on a moment-by-moment basis. I thank You, God, for the opportunities this week to glorify You. Many of them will be opportunities that are hard, that come against our feelings and our thoughts. But God, we have chosen to follow You, and we will serve You no matter what. Now, Father, I pray strength into these people right now and encouragement into them that they would declare the word of the Lord over their life and they would walk in step with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come, as Pastor Alicia begins to sing, would you come and find a place to just seal this word on your heart this morning, that we may be Jesus to the world?